talked about it yesterday. How would we feel if one of the Boston teams won and one of the teams lost? We knew how we'd feel if it was 2-0 or 0-2. I know how I feel. I feel fine. But I also feel exhausted. Welcome to the Sports Machine with Slim on a playoff season Thursday episode. An episode that really fully embodies everything we've been working towards over the last 6 months. What fun it was to be a Boston fan last night of the Bruins and the Celtics. The Bruins, I'm totally physically exhausted at the end of the game last night. I'm on my couch talking to my wife. I'm just like, wow. Just emotionally spent from the hyperness of get him there. It's like, and it was so physical, the game, so close, back and forth. Oh my, what a game we had. And then the Bruins exhibit the type of toughness that us as fans who don't have the athletic ability to be out there at this level, just that we want to see these guys play at, the type of toughness, resiliency, the effort that the Boston Bruins play with, led by their captain Brad Marchand and by their young goalie Jeremy Swayman, who just seemed totally in control of the game last night. And we got plenty to talk about with the Bruins and Swayman and who's going to start game four. Thomas Poch will be on the line in segment two. Looking at the Celtics, I'm exhausted mentally with them. And I have been for the better part of my life. As I look back, really sad. I just have given so much of my life and thought and energy to this Celtics team through the years, because mostly probably because I remember watching the Celtics play the Lakers with my dad when I was like 10 years old. I remember how excited we were to watch the games and root the team on. And we won our fair share back then. Those days stick with you. Man, those are memories. The compete level that those guys played with, it ingrained itself into my being so that I always played that hard. I just hate to lose. I just am not going to stop. I'll feel tired afterwards. I just never really would there be a mental spot for me to stop and be like, well, I'm tired. I'm just not going to play right now. And when I watch the Bruins play with that same type of energy, it's like incredible, orgasmic almost. But then you watch the Celtics and you're like, do these guys even care? My brother Dave sent me a video this morning of Jaylen Brown playing defense with like 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. He runs into a pick. I think Bam Adebayo was setting up a pick. And I think it was Tyler Hero that ended up going to the corner. Whoever it was that Brown was guarding, he runs into the pick, and it's not a full throttle shoulder right into the middle of the chest type of a pick. It's a like grazing. Yeah, you get hit a little bit, but you gotta just keep playing. Like Jaylen Brown comes off that pick, and he just stops, and he's maybe 10 feet away from the Miami Heat player. I think it was Tyler Hero who had the ball at the time, and Hero, he took a second to gear up, get ready. Perfect form into his three. Jaylen Brown just stood there and watched him shoot it, and it went in. And so, as a Celtics fan, am I supposed to be angry? Like, am I supposed to dedicate some of my well-being and my thoughts and energy today towards, like, hoping that that is going to turn around and that that player all of a sudden is going to care, like, even a fraction as much as I cared when I played? I have a tough time doing it. I'm just emotionally drained with the Celtics. They don't want to win as bad as we want them to. And that doesn't mean that they're not trying, because I will tell you, everybody, the beginning of that game, and this is what should have you a little bit worried as a Celtics fan. My notebook, I wrote it down. 2 minutes in, I saw, man, the Celtics players and their bench looked very energetic. The crowd was into it, and I thought the crowd was pretty good, actually, last night. When I was watching on TV, now, I wasn't in there. So if somebody was in the arena, and they want to call, you certainly can. 603-224-1450. We'd love to have you here on the Sports Machine with Slim. Anybody that went to the game, 603-224-1450. Even if you didn't go to the game, if you got a comment on the fans, I would take it. But I thought the Celtics fans, we weren't the reason we lost, is what I'm going to tell you. And I know I put plenty of blame on the Celtics fans in general because we just kind of expect to lose nowadays. I think all Boston fans do. But I will say, the Bruins fans are starting to turn that corner. Bruins fans are getting hungry. And why? Because we got leaders on the team that make us believe in them. And even though we're kind of the underdogs in the NHL, we're kind of, if you look at the betting lines, I mean, the rest of the country ain't afraid of the Bruins and the rest of North America. You know, the Toronto team, the Canadian teams, they're not looking at the Bruins as the team you need to really be on the lookout for. We're the underdog. It feels good to be the underdog, doesn't it? And win that type of a game on the road last night. With the Celtics, we ain't no underdog, man. We walk in there showing up expecting to win. And the team came into that game last night on the heels, remember, of Tatum getting dropped down almost on his head at the end of game one. You'd think that would be a rallying cry for the team going into game two, knowing the Miami physicality was going to present itself. I thought they were ready for it, honestly. The Celtics were up at halftime. What was it, 61-58? We were up by three. Like, the Celtics, at the beginning of the game, we came out playing hard. The bench was standing up. Everybody was into that game. That's concerning. That's very concerning. And at least if the Celtics didn't really care going into the game, you could be like, well, hey, listen, we're much better than them. Whatever. The Celtics cared. Celtics played hard last night. I'm sorry, people. Anybody that wants to be like, well, when the times get tough, the Celtics are just, we're better than Miami. We're just going to beat them. Like, okay, you can have that mentality, and I do think we'll beat the Miami Heat in this series. But we ain't going to beat Denver. And whoever comes out of the West. You're not with that attitude. And it's not just attitude, I guess, is what I'm ultimately saying. The coaching matters. We've said it many times over the last handful of months on the show. Everybody on social media now is saying it. I just checked the Facebook. Mazzulla's the problem. Joe's got to go. All these different things. He is part of the problem. But he's no worse than like Doc Rivers or other coaches that are out there, the majority of other coaches. It just, when you run into a coach who's actually really smart, like Eric Spoelstra, you're at a disadvantage. This guy knows how to motivate his team mentally, and Pat Riley, obviously, as Tom Lane mentioned the other day, he mentioned that we've got the right, you know, Pat Riley hates the Celtics. And he wants to beat us, and he knows what he's doing drafting physical players. We got a caller that wants to come on the air. I know we're only a minute or two away from commercial break, but welcome into the Sports Machine with Slim.
Hey, Slim.
What's happening? What do you got for a take? You Celtics fan or Bruins?
Bruins, but I'm both. I'm more, you know, more of a Celtics fan. I've been watching them since the late 70s, 80s, obviously Bird, like you were talking about earlier, Lakers, watching with my dad and stuff. And, you know, when you and I were on Facebook last night, talk a little bit about it. You know, this team is, you know, I don't know if they're just young, they just haven't got, you know, they haven't grown up enough yet, but they have a ton of playoff experience, but I just don't see I just don't see the fire like you talked about last night, just the will to win. After what happened to Tatum, like you said the other night, that come out and play the way they played last night, it was just horrific.
It makes you angry as a fan. Do you think the fans inside the TD Garden like can have anything to do with taking the players to the next level? Because I've been there when we have, but I just don't know if the fan base is able to do that. They like rely on the Jumbotron to tell them when to cheer it. It really irritates me.
It's true, because I find myself watching the Jumbotron when I'm at the games. It's crazy. It's crazy to believe, but you know, I think Celtics fans, if the Celtics give them a reason to cheer, they will cheer. And I think the Miami Heat did a great job of taking them out of that last night. I mean, got to give the coach Spoelstra all the credit. He had those guys ready to play, and the Celtics weren't ready to play. I hate to say it, but they were not ready to play. And to me, it's the difference between the two coaches. It says volumes for the two differences between the teams last night. It was crazy to watch. I just couldn't believe the Celtics themselves weren't ready to play last night. They were not ready to play.
It's so disappointing. I'm going to tell you what. What's your first name?
Harry.
Harry, yeah, I remember now, we traded messages. You got any time to call tomorrow?
I'll certainly call back in. I didn't know the show was here, and I'll definitely try to come back in and listen again.
Let's message. I'll give you a full 10 minutes. You call in tomorrow, Harry. I'll message you on Facebook. We're going to commercial right now. We'll be back talking with Thomas Polk about the Bruins on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is nhtalkradio.com. Tell you what, that was cool. I love connected with Celtics fans. Like when Harry came on, I last night I was just, I don't know the guy. We just meet on Facebook groups about the Celtics and we start exchanging some messages. And he calls up, he's talking about, you know, watching the game with his dad. It's just cool to connect with people that have those same type of memories. And he sounded good. So I just messaged him back, said, hey, listen, man, if you can call tomorrow or next week, I want you on the show. I want Celtics fans involved with this, because listen, we're gonna beat the Heat. If we don't, like, oh my god, I'm not even going down that lane. Man, I dislike the Miami Heat. Did you see this troll job by Jimmy Butler last night? The tweet he sent out or whatever it was, post on Instagram. He said, don't let us get one. And he put a picture of himself in Jaylen Brown's uniform and body. Oh, what a tremendous troll job from a guy who's not even playing. Incredible. Thomas Polk, I believe he's on the line. And I got to be able to shift gears over to the Bruins. You didn't watch any of the Celtics game last night, Thomas, I'm assuming.
I did not. Just not enough time in the day. I've been following a lot of the hockey, even the other games that are going on right now, too.
They're all so exciting. When I flip over here or there, if the Bruins have a night off or the Celtics, I'm watching these other games, too. Man, it's so action-packed. It's so aggressive watching these games, and it's just so much fun as a fan for any team because most of the games are pretty darn close.
Oh, they're hard fought. They really are. I mean, I know a few of the other series are, you know, up two. Some of them are tied. So they've been good games. It's fun. I love the first round of the playoffs. It's probably the most exciting to me.
What is exciting to me, Thomas, is going back and forth on Twitter or X, whatever people want to call it, whatever the kids are calling it nowadays, going back and forth with some Toronto fans who were whining that they got, like, a bad whistle last night. Is it just my untrained eye, or do you, as a former professional NHL player, agree with me that the refs were horribly in the favor of Toronto Maple Leafs last night?
I don't know about horribly in favor of the Maple Leafs, but obviously it's the playoffs. There's going to be tougher games. There's going to be little penalties here or there that aren't called. One thing I do remember about the years playing, whether any higher level, you got to shut the refs out. You can't look for them to help you. They're going to call certain things and they're not going to call others. If that's what's going to get you off your game, you're not going to make it no matter what. And you can see it with Toronto, even their head coach. He's out there afterwards complaining about how Marchand gets certain calls. I'm sorry, Sheldon, that's just not how it works. Like, there's plenty of other little things that they didn't call in the Leafs either. So, you know, it is what it is. Do I think sometimes the ref makes certain calls? They're a little iffy. Of course I do. But, you know, whatever they do, there's always a 50% chance that somebody's going to hate you.
Thomas, I love what you said there about, like, blocking the refs out. And I was just thinking, like, maybe I could get Thomas to deliver this message to Jason Tatum somehow on the basketball side of things. But let me just give some facts to you, and you can take it from there. The penalties called last night, the Bruins had 5 called against them. Toronto had 3 called against them. One of them was like a minute into the game with the delay of game call where they just took it and cleared it right into the fans. So that's an obvious penalty call. So now we're down to like 5-2 in the order of like questionable penalty calls. Well, one of the other ones was the tripping that they did against Brad Marchand with like a minute left in the game. So when the hardcore meat of the action game was taking place, Toronto got 5 penalties called for in their favor, the Bruins had one. How could any self-respecting Maple Leafs fan complain about the reffing?
Well, they're complaining because they lost. That's how it goes, right? You got to find a reason for it. Hey, at the end of the day, five power plays, no power play goals, just can't happen. Sorry, that's all there is to it. The Bruins won the special specialty game. That's all there is to it. You know, and then the last call at the end, the one you're referring to, I think he actually called a holding there on Tavares. Is it iffy? Yes. But you haven't been able to score. What do you think you're going to score a goal there right at the end? Now that you pulled your goalie, it's still 5-on-5. Like, I don't know. It's just not a, that's not the one to hang up your whole game on. So you just got to get over it. But obviously that's what people do, right? They go on Twitter. Or sorry, X or Instagram, and complain about it. That's what fans do. That's what is great about sports. That's what's great about social media. Everybody gets a voice.
Yeah, I went on to Facebook last night, and I made a comment about how most Canadians are soft. And boy, the rallying cry came out in the responses, be like, hey, we have these Canadians on this Bruins team, and I'm from Canada. I'm not soft. Can I get you to say anything negative about the Toronto Maple Leafs fan base?
Well, you know, they care about their hockey, number one. Toronto is probably the biggest hockey market out there as far as fans go. I mean, they haven't won in, what, 50, 60 years, maybe even longer? So, obviously, they're starving for a championship. Every year, they're going to get knocked out in the first or the second round. So, you know, they're going to cry about it. That's not like, hockey is one of those sports where most of your teams are made up of a lot of Europeans, Canadians, and Americans. So you can't really say one culture is softer than the other. As a team, they probably didn't play hard enough. That's all there is to it. But the game's been physical, so I don't think it's the physicality and stuff that goes out there. At the end of the day, if you want to win in the playoffs, your best players need to be your best players. Yes, the Leafs are missing Willie Nylander, and Mitch Marner hasn't scored enough. I'm sorry. Brad Marchand is 36 years old. He's been around the league. I'm sure he's hurting a little bit like everybody else, but he's outscoring their 10-year younger superstar.
The effort was evident on both sides, Thomas. I mean, really, it was a coin flip as to who was going to win the game. For me, this has been my take on hockey. It's kind of what's been a turnoff for me, actually, through most of my years because I wasn't a hockey player growing up. It's like so much of it involves luck. Let's just be realistic. I mean, everybody loves Swayman, and he played a great game, but I feel like Omark, his game two was pretty equivalent. Like, he played an incredible game two, but guess what? We just didn't get the luck. Last night, that Trent Frederick goal, I know they were on to X complaining that was a real soft goal given up. I didn't think so. I thought that was an incredible shot by Trent Frederick, but when you see that goal, do you consider that soft by the goalie that he let it in?
Well, I don't think it was soft, but they do call the short side the minor league side for a reason, right?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I mean, that was always a running joke when you play. Like, the short side, like, hey, their goalie played well, too. Marchand's goal was incredible. The last one was an empty netter. But you're winning 1-0, you're going in, and then Trent Freddie comes down as a left shot guy from the left side. If he beats you far side with a beautiful shot, okay. Short side on that. It's just a tough one. You want your goalies to make those saves, and it's changed the momentum, right? It tied the game up, gave us a chance to go into the third 1-1, and then we went from there. Obviously, with the little penalty stuff going on at the end of the second, the Bruins, I thought, did a phenomenal job, right? They were penalty killing. Then the ref pulls the arm up, calls the penalty on Toronto, and the Bruins ran down the clock so they have more time on the power play going into the third. And right away, they go out there and score. So that kind of changed it around. I don't think it was soft on his part, but if you're the goalie and you ask it, I'm sure he wants that one back. As far as Omark goes, I think you're right. Omark played a great game, too. There was nothing he could have done, but you need to score some goals.
Well, that's
all there is to it.
Exactly. We had 3 goals tonight. They only had 2 the other night, the Bruins. So let's see for game 4. Now, everybody on Twitter is talking about, hey, we got to have Swayman in for game 4. I'm going to fight Jim Montgomery if he doesn't start Swayman. That's what everybody's saying, where I want Omark to start again in game 4. I know we talked about this for game 2 start, Thomas. Who do you want to see in net for game 4?
Well, I think the way he's been running it, is there a case for Swayman? 100%.
Yes.
I do think that, you know, there's no way to not argue it. He's 5-0 against the Maple Leafs this season. His goal against average is below two. His saves are above, I think, 95-something. So everything points towards him. But Linus hasn't done anything wrong either. If that's the way they want to go, ultimately, in the end of the day, the only way you're going to be right about it is who wins the next game. Omark plays and they win, he made the right call. Omark plays and they lose, they didn't make the right call. Right?
I'm fine with this.
It's a tough decision for him.
I'm fine. I'm not going into game four looking to second guess anybody, Thomas. I think that's the way you just verbalized it perfectly. And for me, if we win game four, whoever's in net, awesome, right? Swayman starting game five, either way. If we happened to lose game four, if Swayman starts, all of a sudden there's a little bit of panic, right? Because then we're coming back to Boston, it's 2-2, you got to start Swayman, but he just lost the last game. If Omark starts game four and we happen to lose, it's like, okay, we're back home, Swayman's going to be in net. So that's the only, I think, keep the team playing the same way they have been all season long, and thus far, it's going good. Omark starts game four. We got about 10 seconds. What do you think, Thomas?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I have no idea. But yeah, we might as well keep it going right now, you know?
On the other hand,
it is what it is. But like, it's a tough decision. I don't want to be in his shoes. I really don't want to.
There we go. We want Jim Montgomery in his shoes. Thomas, I love having you on. Thank you so much for calling today. WKXL, the sports machine with Slim. That's a former NHL player right there, Thomas Poku, who graces our airwaves and will be plenty, hopefully, as the Bruins continue on with this journey. WKXL is on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Oh man, Boston Bruins. I love what I saw from that team last night. So much we could talk about. Thomas Poke, back and forth. We could have gone easily for like a half hour more, and I think it would have been a pretty entertaining conversation. We didn't get into Mason Lowry last night, who I have thought is an incredible weakness during the regular season. Just too many times doing things on the ice. I'm just like, even as an untrained professional, I'm like, what, dude? This guy just fell down for like no reason. Multiple times, bad passes, afraid of the checks coming in. He was money last night. Hampus Lindholm last night played his best game of the season. That was the guy that I was last year ready to bet on to win Defensive Player of the Year during the regular season. Lindholm was incredible last night. If he can play like that all the way through, baby, we got something special. I got something special on the phone lines for you right now, people. The pistol is here.
Slim, there are teams that rely on talent, and there are teams that rely on effort. But while I lack the talent of a Mitty, an MBD, or a Thomas Polk, I bring the effort. I'm the Miami Heat of the sports machine. The pistol is bringing the effort today.
And this is why I love to have you on the airlines here, the airwaves. I know you bring the effort, you bring the energy, and you sometimes are known to bring the trouncing on the Celtics and stepping on my hopes and dreams and not being afraid to like laugh about it in my face. Is that what you're here to do today?
Well, I'd say the Celtics are one of those teams that rely on their talent, and they have a tremendous lack of effort on the court sometimes. This team has taken you from being an NBA fan to an NHL fan. That's how much effort they put in.
It's true. It's true. They have turned me. This is turning. Right. They have turned me from one fan into another. This is how it happens in like relationships and stuff, I'd imagine. But this is happening in the sporting world. Very good. I am now a full-fledged, but I'm open. I'm like bye with the Celtics and the Bruins now. I'm not just going full throttle. I'm only doing Bruins now.
Well, I listen to the sports machine. I'm like, damn, there's so much hockey on. But I can understand why. They've just converted you. I can't root for this team either. So hell of a game by the Miami Heat last night. I don't know what they shot from the three-point line, but it was above 50%. They were absolutely on fire. And, you know, Boston, they really got up on Boston, right? They were up in their face all game. Right?
Do you notice it at the very beginning? I saw Tyler Hero 1 minute into the game. I made a note. I was like, wow, he's following Jaylen Brown around, and he was like right attached to him on an out-of-bounds play before the ball was even getting inbounded. Did you see that on the TV?
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics almost looked like they didn't know what to do because Miami was so in their face. And the vice versa was happening on the other side. Like, Celtics were kind of just laying off of them and saying, like, go ahead and shoot, go ahead and shoot. So they really had nobody in their face when they were shooting three-pointers, and they were just hitting them, right? I mean, Caleb Martin, like, that guy, two steals in the fourth quarter. He nails a three, and I was like, he's such a star when he plays against the Celtics.
I could tick off the Boston Celtics homers, like hardcore fans that are softies, with saying one question, and I want you to answer it quickly. If there was a game tomorrow, who would you rather have on your team, Caleb Martin or Jaylen Brown?
Oh, Caleb Martin, man.
No, like, doubt.
Caleb Martin plays hard, man.
No doubt.
Tons of effort.
No doubt. This is not us just ranting radio, stupid talk to try and get thoughts or comments and get people fired up. Caleb Brown is a better playoff basketball player than Jaylen Brown is. Caleb Martin is a superior basketball player to Jaylen Brown in the playoffs.
I mean, certainly against each other. I mean, the one thing I'll say is Jaylen does bring some energy. He gets some steals on the court. Like, he's flexing at the crowd and all that kind of stuff. And some of that stuff I think is good. You got to get people into the game, right? Like, I love Luka screaming at the crowd when he makes a huge shot. And he's like, what are you fans going to do about it? Or Ant-Man just like jawing at every player on the court. You got Jaden McDaniels like all over in Durant's face. Like, so many of these other games, they have so much effort that the guys are putting in. And I don't feel it from the Celtics. And I think I texted you yesterday. I'm like, I think it would be a disgrace if the Boston Celtics lift the Larry O'Brien this year.
Totally agree. You sent that last night to me, and I said, if you don't call in, I'm going to read it. It really would be. They just don't play hard enough, and it's disrespectful to the game of basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. So you couldn't have put it any better. Like, this team doesn't deserve it, and so much so that you're now watching NHL instead of NBA.
Do the quick answer with this so it's good for radio. I got some everybody out there listening. Get ready for a question. It's going to be rapid fire. Two questions. The score of the Celtics game last night was 111-101. Okay? We got two questions in a row. Pistol, what was the plus minus for Jaylen Brown last night?
I'm guessing minus 22.
What was the plus minus for Jason Tatum?
I think he was plus 6, wasn't he?
Listen, this guy does his homework, everybody. I got an expert on the line right here. You're paying attention to statistics that matter. We did not collaborate on this beforehand. Jason Tatum last night was plus 6, everybody. Jaylen Brown was minus 22. Pistol, does that matter?
No, I love that statistic. I look at it every game that I care about. I think that's a really important statistic for how players are playing on the court. And the weird thing is, I watched the game. I didn't feel like I noticed that as much. I do feel like Brown like brings a lot of energy to the team. Brown shot pretty well, but he's not able to like get it in people's face and defend well.
His defense is pathetically unintelligent.
Yes. It's the defensive side of the ball where that plus-minus is killing him, right? Like, it's just killing him.
So I got one other comment. I'm going to try and make you laugh with this. We know that unicorns are imaginary, right? Like, they're not there. they're invisible. I think it's an insult to unicorns to call Kristaps Porzingis a unicorn, because he is like, he's a net negative. He was last night minus 32. In plus minus. Hey, listen, a unicorn would have been like minus 22. he was below a unicorn last night.
That negative number is very rare to see. The only time you see that is like in Oklahoma
City. It's rarer
City,
than a
know?
Unicorn.
Yeah, it's more unlikely than a unicorn. It's like, you see those kind of numbers when you have an OKC blowout like they had last night, right? Like, yeah. That's when those big plus minuses go in a 10-point game. How are you negative 32? It seems impossible.
How is it possible? They're minus 10 for the game. The unicorn is minus 32. And before game one, I'm watching the TV for the Celtics channel, and we're talking about, like, oh, adding Kristaps Porzingis just makes us so much tougher and better. And, like, he multifaceted, and last night he's minus 32. Dude, this guy has been a minus unicorn for his entire career, but somehow this fan base of the Celtics now is brainwashed into thinking that he's going to be good.
Well, there is one person who has a bigger minus than minus 32, and that's MBD with his 27-point prediction that the Celtics were going to win by 27. They lost by 10. That's a minus 37 in my book.
Wow. Yeah, coming out. I like this. I like throwing haymakers because if you're throwing one, you got to be prepared to get one back. And I wonder if MBD, I texted him earlier and he said, I'm angry. I kind of want to come on, but I probably shouldn't. So he's afraid as a salesman that has to like show himself in at companies. He doesn't want to say the wrong thing that might be able to used against him, I think, out in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve to be on today, and especially on a show where the pistol is on. I'm calling him out on his 27-point victory.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, MBD. I'm going to have you save this for tomorrow. Write up a script if you're listening out there and come in and come at full throttle the pistol tomorrow, because I do think I'm going to have another Bruins caller lined up for segment four. So we're just going to let the simmering battle between you two stew. Any other hot shots you want to throw at either me or the Celtics or MBD on your way out today, Pistol?
No, I don't got any more shots, but just a great – I'm looking forward to seeing more Luka and the Clippers. I'm loving that series right now. I think that's a series to watch. Really interested in that one.
Right on. Well, yeah, tonight the Knicks are playing the 76ers, baby, and that's a series. That's fun to watch. And you know the Knicks ain't lying down like going on the road tonight to be like, well, okay, we're up 2-0, and we're just going to show up tonight because the Sixers are going to play hard. The Knicks don't operate like that.
No, the Knicks always play hard. When we talked about teams that rely on effort and rely on talent, they're a rely on effort kind of team. And you got to love guys like that in the playoffs. Josh Hart, you know, the KCP on Denver, like those kind of guys are playoff performing players.
Right on. Nice job today, Pistol. I'm getting texts. So many people want to be calling the lines right now. They want to be calling the show. The show is pretty good, isn't it?
Well, they're ready to dig into the pistol.
Yeah. Everybody wants to insult the pistol. That's all right. You're up for the challenge, and maybe call back tomorrow. Let's roll in the commercial right here. We got one more segment. I'm looking for Bruin Sully to be on the line in this next segment to close out the show with the Bruins discussion here on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Everybody, let's be honest. This show today so far has been pretty awesome. This is what I envisioned when we started this thing up 6 months ago, 5 months ago, on this small independently held radio station in New Hampshire. I knew we'd get to this point. The Celtics and the Bruins playoff fever is gripping everybody. We got tons of awesome things to be talking about. Really, we could be going 4 hours a day. It'd be easy. And not for nothing, it'd be a huge moneymaker. Why? Because we are superior. What you're listening to right now on this radio station is superior to what you would be hearing on 98.5 or EEI right now. And I'm not trying to bash the competitors. I'm just saying we're better, dude. This is a superior product. It's not up for debate. I am an incredible host of Sports Talk Radio. I know my stuff, and I know good callers when I hear them, and I have one on the line right now that I think we're prepared to give you an epic finish to today's show with. Bruin Sully, you're in there, right?
Oh, yeah. What's going on, Slim?
I you can hear I'm patting myself on the back, saying how good I am. I will say, though, on some level, I do feel like I've met my match a little bit with you. You are a hardcore Bruins fan, and you are very good on the phone/radio.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. And I will say, too, I will say that this is better than 98.5. Their hockey takes are just all clickbait.
You got it. So we're going to dive deep. Right here, dig dive deep, can I say that? And me and you may throw down verbally during this segment, everybody, so strap yourselves in, because I'm saying Ullmark should get the start in game four, and you're saying you pretty much might even like to fight Jim Montgomery, I think, if he starts Ullmark in game four. You want Swayman.
Yeah, I said I would personally call 911 if they start Ullmark game four.
Why do you feel so strongly?
So Jeremy Swayman
this season alone, he's 5-0-0 against Toronto, including the two playoff games that he's played. He's got a .964 save percentage, a .170 goals against average. Out of 166 shots against him, he's saved 160. He's only allowed 6 goals against in those 5 games. And I'm not even saying Allmark played. I'm not saying Allmark played bad in Game 2. He played phenomenal in Game 2.
Yes, he did.
It's just that Swayman right now is it's his net right now. As good as Allmark played and as good as he's been all season, I don't necessarily think there's a wrong decision here, but I think they want to lean Swayman. I think you do that.
So your comment there with the "it's his net" just sounds so old-fashioned, 1960s mm-hmm. version, 60-year-old coach type stuff. The new age hockey is going to be, hey, alternating because that's what's best for the locker room. The locker room right now, Sully, my take is that these goals, like the Frederick goal, we talked earlier with Thomas Poke, and they said, well, that's kind of a soft goal. You want to get the short side there. Well, maybe that goal doesn't go in if you're unlucky, okay? I feel that right now the Bruins are in a spot where they're lucky, they're together, and I don't want to upset that. I want Allmark taking the net in Game 4 because that's the way it's been done, and if he doesn't start in Game 4, if I'm Allmark, I'm kind of like, man, it's my turn. Like, I want to be out there tonight. I think there's some negativity, and that can have a trickle-down effect on the rest of the team and the luck factor.
Yeah, no, I don't even necessarily disagree with you there. Like, thank God that I'm not Jim Montgomery, because I would be up all night contemplating this decision that I have to make. Knowing that I got two red-hot goalies, one goalie that hasn't lost against Toronto. Luckily, you have a 2-1 series lead right now, so if you do go Allmark and he loses, I mean, it's okay. The thing with this whole tandem is that Jim Montgomery is in a lose-lose. Like, if he plays Allmark and he loses, 50% of the fan base is going to be saying, see, we told you so. Should have gone Swayman. And then if he starts Swayman and he loses, half the fan base is going to say, see, we were right. You should have stayed with the tandem and you should have gone Allmark Game 4.
I called EEI, Sully. I called them on, it was Monday or Tuesday of this week, and I said, I want Jim Montgomery in this position. I think he's playing the media perfectly. This is a guy who scored 3 goals in the championship game to win the Maine Black Bears the national title. This is a guy who responds well under pressure, and I think he likes the fact of just keeping the media all like, hey, what's this? And the pressure's on him instead of the players.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And you saw it the other day as well when I think it was before Game 2, where he mentioned to the media, he said the goalie has 2 vowels in his first name and his last name. So he's keeping the media guessing, and it's a good strategy on his part. It's going to be interesting to see who he goes with. And personally, I say Swayman, but my gut is telling me it could go either way.
He's making all the right moves, Sully. Last night, he puts Mason Lowry into the game. He sits Grizzlick, which I was like, oh, that's a question. I want a Grizz out there. But he also puts JVR into the game. Yeah. And it's like, dude, Lowry played a great game. Our defenseman last night, there was no weakness. I didn't look at us having a problem clearing the zone. I was like, dude, actually, that's now a strength. What happened? What a difference. The moves Montgomery is making are the right ones.
Yeah, he's pushing all the right buttons right now. And I think in the defensive zone, Mason, as much as Matt Grizzlick is a great puck-moving defenseman, he's on the smaller side, so he tends to kind of get beaten up in his own zone when it comes to playoff hockey. Mason Lowry, being a rookie, that being his first NHL playoff game, he did get 2 penalties, but that's okay.
He's one was soft, play, but one was a joke, yeah, and for Toronto to be complaining about the ref is a total joke.
Oh, yeah. Sheldon Keefe's comments about the refs were terrible and the Bruins were getting calls. I don't know if he looked at the stat sheet, but the Bruins only had 3 power plays. Toronto had 5, and it's not the ref's fault that Toronto can't score on the power play. I mean, what does he want? 6-7 power plays a game? That's not how it works.
Yeah, I said it earlier too, Sully. Yeah, we had 3 penalties called in our favor. One was when they just took the puck and put it right over the stands, right over the glass to begin the game. Like, you have to call that. So in questionable penalties, it was 5-2. Well, one of the other ones was an obvious tripping that they tripped Marchand with like a minute left.
Yep, exactly. It's a soft move by the Toronto head coach Sheldon Keefe to just kind of put the blame on the refs and not on his own guy.
That's kind of
what you see trickling down throughout their franchise, and that's what you've seen forever. They're just a whole they whine. They're a whiny team, and that's why they can never buckle down when the hockey really means something. The moment is too big, and it trickles down. You see it from the head coach down. It's the way it goes, and that's. To even go back to your Jim Montgomery point, he's great under pressure, and that trickles down to the Bruins lineup. So what you're seeing from Montgomery is exactly what you want to see. If he chooses Ullmark, I'm fine with that. If he chooses Swayman, I'm more than fine with that. I'm confident with the way that the team looks, confident with the way that they're playing Toronto. You're holding Mitch Marner to, I think he only has 1 point this series. Jim Montgomery is doing... He's executing things flawlessly, in my opinion, and I think you share that opinion as well.
That's it. I mean, and the switch from Game 2 to Game 3, it was just so noticeable on the defensive side of the end. I was just like, come on, dude. These guys, these rookies are coming in there and playing like this. Mason Lowry, how about that pass he put to JVR last night? JVR wasn't able to finish it off, but I said, well, going into the game, I know Lowry has a bit of a better offensive skill set maybe than Grizzly. Grizzly got a heck of a slap shot, but I think for playmaking, Lowry can I've seen him make some nice passes. That was a beauty. Yeah. Well, what if this kid all of a sudden continues playing like that for the rest of the playoffs, Sully? We might be going to the Stanley Cup, dude. I don't want to jump ahead too far, but we got some potential pieces coming together here.
Yeah, and the team is deep enough to make a deep run, and you're seeing it in this series, too. I believe this series, even more than the Tampa Bay-Florida series, I believe this series is the most physical series in the NHL at the moment in terms of hits, like total hits. I think upwards of 170 combined between 3 games, maybe more. And you're seeing the Bruins respond well to that. You got big guys. You got Maroon. Maroon is throwing his weight around against Reeves. Trent Frederick, Jake DeBrusk, they're all throwing their weight around. They're playing playoff-style hockey with 2 goalies who you can trust in net. So I'm liking the way the team looks. As long as they keep playing this way and they don't get sucked into Toronto's, shenanigans, then they should and they are more than capable of being able to finish this series out in 6, maybe 7.
Well, let's just get after it and get after Game 4, and hopefully Ullmark can come in net and just play the way he did in Game 2. For my money, Sully, and we got to go to we're finishing up the show here, but we got 10 seconds. I think Ullmark's Game 2 was just as good as Swayman last night.
Yep, totally agree.
Right? He played a great game. So we got everything working for us. Let's keep that flavor going right into Game 4 and right into the Sports Machine with Slim tomorrow on Friday. We got one more episode to close out the week. Let's do it. Thank you, Sully, for calling into the Sports Machine with Slim today on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, New Hampshire, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. I know there's people out there listening, and you're loving it, and you're going to have your dial there tomorrow. Or you listen online, nhtalkradio.com.